Holy Spirit, we ask that you would breathe into every crevice of Ryan's heart and to his mind, that you would fill him with the life of the Word of God in increasing measure. I thank you for the word that he has for us this morning. I ask that it would come into our minds and our hearts, it would penetrate deeply, and that we would leave changed this morning. So I pray a blessing over him and his family this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen. Amen.
Good morning. I get to speak a lot, and sometimes it's front of a few, and sometimes it's front of a few thousand, but I like the few because it really helps me hone in on what I talk about, and I get to see if what I'm saying is interesting or super boring. No, I love having the opportunity to be able to speak what I'm passionate about, and I'm hoping what God has given me a passion for will somehow infiltrate your life, even if just a little bit. That would be amazing. God gave me actually a little lesson this morning. You guys almost got off the hook of what I'm going to challenge you to do today. This morning was a bit bittersweet. My car was broken into this morning, and I had just bought this pair of sunglasses, and I don't buy them very often, and because I often lose them. But I was just like, man, I really need a good pair of sunglasses, and so I bought a really good pair and not a cheap pair, and I was super excited about them because they fit just right and they look so awesome. And I go to my car and they're gone. I was like, oh. But the Bibles were still there. They didn't take the Bibles. And it just made me think of the verse, the things of this world will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So my sunglasses are gone, but God's word still there. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to be doing with that today. I'm the director and founder of Give the Word. I started it close to 6 years ago, and I started it based on just a passion that I had to share the gospel with people. I first started taking opportunities to share the gospel when I was doing prison ministry at Stony Mountain, and this was during a time in my life where I was really trying to get back into my relationship with God. I'm a musician, and so we had the opportunity to play for the guys at Stony Mountain. And I was, I've been a believer most of my life, but had walked away from God for a long time. So I was just starting to rekindle that relationship with God. And it was during that time that I started sharing my faith with these inmates for the first time. I had never shared my faith before, and here I am sharing my faith with the most intimidating crowd I could think of. And it was amazing watching these guys connect with what we were saying and watching them respond and asking questions. It was so much fun, and I thought, man, I have been missing out. Like, keeping my faith to myself, I'd really been missing out, and I really believe that there's just as much joy for the giver as there is for the receiver. It's so much fun, regardless of the response that you get. It's fun. One of the things that got me into feeling comfortable with talking to people that I don't know was actually one of my first jobs. After I got out of high school, I wasn't living a great life then, but one of my first jobs was a telemarketer, and that was one of the worst jobs I've ever had, if not the worst. And if you're scared of rejection for sharing the gospel, that's nothing what you get as a telemarketer. And I was not good at experiencing rejection. I took that personally. And so I was just like devastated when people would, you know, tell me off on the phone. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. And I was like, I'm never going to make any money here. Because it was all commissions based. And I thought, I really have to start trying to think of ways that I can, you know, actually start making sales. And so I remember this lady's name. I would always be able to see people's name come up on my screen. As it was calling out, so I kind of knew who I was talking to already. And so I think this lady came on, and I saw that the last name was Fredrickson. And I was just like, hi, is this Mrs. Fredrickson? And she said, yeah. And I said, this is Ryan Fredrickson calling from AT&T. She's like, oh, you're a Fredrickson. And I'm like, yeah. And then she started asking where I was from, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. But we had this amazing conversation, and she bought what I was selling, and I was like, huh, this is cool. So I started using people's last name as my last name, and oh my goodness. They were sharing their real stories of who they were and where they were from, and I was sharing my fake story about who I was and where I was from, and I would never do that again, most likely. But I really started to enjoy the conversation piece that we were having. And I started really to enjoy hearing about people's lives and talking to these people who I had no idea who they were. I loved it. And it was after that that, you know, I pursued different careers in jobs that dealt with people, which totally kind of took me out of my comfort zone, but I loved it. And now I get to tell my real story, which is a little bit more rewarding. But that was fun. I started Give the Word 6 years ago, and God's just exploded it. I had no idea what it would be or what it would turn out to be, but I just wanted to make the Bible free and available for people to use in sharing the gospel. And just using my own stories and my own ways that I was doing it to get other people to do it as well. And it's just exploded. Like, I can't even keep up with what's happening. We've grown like crazy. We're now working out of the Youth for Christ building in downtown Winnipeg, and we're now donating over 50,000 Bibles a year. It's just absolutely incredible, and they're going all over Canada. They're going into the U.S. They're going into Latin America. It's absolutely amazing, and it's all through people like yourselves who are just taking opportunities to share the gospel, and that's how the word is getting out. And it's really exciting to see a warehouse full of 50,000 Bibles go down to almost zero, so that we can fill it back up again and do it again. And I love it. But I really believe that we are God's plan A, and He has no plan B. There's no plan B. We're it. And if we're not doing what we can to share our faith, how much importance are we really placing on it? The opportunities are literally everywhere. I don't know about you, but I fly a lot. And I used to always just say this little prayer before I got on the plane, please give me a row to myself so I can just sleep and be alone and not have to touch people's arms and stuff. And God would rarely answer that prayer. Almost never, sometimes. But I have a completely different prayer now. It's, God, would you sit me beside somebody who's got a sense of humor, somebody who loves to talk, somebody who's open to hearing about you. And God often answers that prayer. I remember getting on a flight to Thunder Bay. I was speaking at a youth conference almost a year ago. And before I got on the plane, I just said that little prayer, sit me beside somebody with a sense of humor, somebody who likes to talk. And I get on the plane, and there's this one guy singing in my row. He looks like he's in his mid-40s or so. And I said, hey, man, I think I'm in your row. And he just goes, ugh. And I'm like, what? And he just goes, you are so not the hot blonde I ordered to sit beside. And I was like, yes, this guy is awesome. We are going to have a good time. And I was like, sorry, man, you got stuck with the bald dude. And so we sat down, and you know, we were already, you know, the ice had already been broken, and we're laughing. And I just said, so what are you doing in Thunder Bay? And he goes, oh, I'm a broadcasting executive from Saskatoon, and I'm meeting some clients out here. So I just asked him about his job and asked him about his life and how he got into that. And I just let him talk. And everybody's a little bit narcissistic. We all like to talk about ourselves a little bit and what's important to us and what's going on in our lives. And people like to be asked those kinds of things. And so I just asked and let him go. And he just goes, so what are you doing in Thunder Bay? And I just go, oh, I'm just speaking at a youth conference. And he goes, what do you talk about at a youth conference? And I said, oh, I'm just going to be talking about how Jesus has been changing my life and how I'm able to use my story to share God's story. And I just want to encourage and equip these youth to do the same. And he goes, okay, what do you mean Jesus changed your life? I was like, here we go. And so I got to share, you know, my testimony with him. And I won't share that today, but I got to share that with him, and I incorporated the whole gospel message into that story. And he's just looking at me and he goes, I have never heard that before. And this is a 45-year-old white guy from Saskatoon. And I said, you've never heard that? And he goes, well, I mean, I know that the religion of Christianity exists and that God and Jesus somehow fit into that, but what that means or looks like, he said, I have no idea. Like, I wasn't raised in a religious home and I'm not religious today, so I don't have a clue. And he goes, but this has really got me thinking now, because he's like, this timing is crazy. My dad recently passed away and I've really been struggling with, where is he? And if he's nowhere, what's the point of anything? And so we just talked and talked and talked from the moment we sat down to the moment we walked out of the Thunder Bay Airport. And before we left, he just goes, so would you have like a Bible for dummies? And I said, it's the only kind we carry. And so I gave it to him, and he's just like, wow, thanks, man. And we exchanged information, and I've been keeping in contact with him. And I just went out to Saskatoon to visit him. It was exactly 1 year since we met on that plane. I saw a cheap flight on WestJet, so I just booked a flight for the sole purpose of going out there just to connect with him. And he's just like, he's blown away. And he often says to me, don't get me wrong, I love that we connect and that you keep in touch with me. I just don't understand why. You don't even know who I am. And yet you have this, you care about me and care about my life. He said, that just doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm glad it makes sense for you because I like this. And who knows what's going to happen from that, whether he accepts the Lord or not. I don't know. That's not up to me. But what is up to me is to share Jesus with him, is to share the gospel with him. And I often think to myself, what gives me the right to keep my faith to myself? What gives me the right? And I've never come up with a good enough answer, other than the fact that it feels weird, I don't want people to say no, whatever. But we are God's plan A, and there is no plan B. I love the verses in Romans 10, which always resonates with me. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. I love that. How is anybody going to hear about Jesus if we don't actually go and tell them? And if we're just relying on the ministries and the pastors and to do that job, they can't. It's way too big of a job for just the, you know, paid missionaries or pastors to do. If we leave it up to them, man, we're in trouble. God is able to use every single one of us to share the gospel, regardless of your story. And I know some people think, well, I don't have a great testimony. I've kind of been a believer my whole life and been a follower and never. That's amazing. I wish I could say that. I would love to be able to say that I've been a strong believer and been walking with God my entire life. That is the best testimony that you can ever have. But if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, God's going to put the people in front of you who connect with your story. You are able to use your story to share God's story. And it's really not that hard at all, and I'm going to go into that in a little while. I was at Missions Fest a while ago in Vancouver. And I had brought like 500 Bibles with me, and I had put them all on our table. Our table was just stacked with them. And there was thousands and thousands of people coming through Vancouver Missions Fest. If you've never been there, it's crazy. It's huge. And so most of the time when people have stuff on their table at Missions Fest, it's free and people can take it. So people would walk by and go, are these Bibles free? And I said, yeah. He said, I can just have one? And I said, absolutely. He said, oh, thanks. And I said, but you can't keep it. He said, oh, okay. Then what am I supposed to do with it? You got to give it away. To who? I don't know. You got to go give it away. And I just said, what my challenge is for you to do is to take an opportunity to share the gospel in whichever way you feel comfortable doing it, do it, but just give this away. And most people put it back. At Missions Fest, where everybody's walking around because they want to be involved in missions somehow, and here's something practical that somebody can do for free, just go out and do it. And most people put it back. And I always ask why. And I kind of compiled my most popular answers that I got. And it was, well, I wouldn't know what to say. And my response was, well, neither do I. I don't ever know what to say. I've never had the same conversation twice. And I've been stumped a whole bunch of times. I often don't know what to say. And sometimes the conversation goes sour. Who cares? Well, I'm not actually a missionary. Are you a believer? Yes, you're a missionary. Every single one of us has been called to do this. You're either active or inactive. But you are one. Well, I wouldn't know who to give it to. That's the point. People don't want to hear about Jesus. I can't buy into that. If we were created by God for God, every single one of us wants to hear about Jesus. Who doesn't want to hear that they're loved regardless of anything that they've ever done and that they're accepted regardless of anything that they've ever done? That's pretty amazing. Well, the Bible says share the gospel and when necessary use words. Nope. It doesn't. And that quote is so often used, and I have yet to go through the Gospels and see Jesus and his disciples not using words. They're pretty necessary. Well, my life's not good enough to share. Hey, neither is mine. I'm scared of rejection. Who isn't? Well, I don't want to. Wow. That's the worst one. I don't want to. How are we supposed to call ourselves believers and admit that we're in relationship with God when we don't have a burden for people? And did you know that statistically, only about 5% of Bible-believing Christians in North America are active in sharing their faith? 5%. That blew me away when I heard that statistic at this conference that I was at. I was like, there's no way that that's true. I know why I didn't used to do it, but seriously, like everybody, like nobody does it? And I ended up meeting with pastors throughout the city and asking them this question, like is this right? And it was a resounding, yeah. I remember speaking at a church in Calgary. This was about, I don't know, 2 years ago or so. And it was a church of about 350 people. And I kind of wanted to do a little bit of a test. And so I just said, everybody, I won't do that here today, but I just said, everybody close your eyes. Nobody look at anybody else. I said, who here can say that their faith is the most important thing in their life above anything else? Raise your hand. And almost the entire church raises their hand. And I was like, hey, this is awesome. I was like, now, really don't look at anybody now. And I said, who here can honestly say that they are actively engaged in sharing their faith during the week in any capacity at all? Raise your hand. About 8 to 10 people rose their hand in a church of 350 people. And I said, guys, how can we collectively say that our faith is the most important thing to us when almost none of us are doing that? Because we talk about what's most important to us. What are we talking about to people that we work with or to relatives that we know who are not believers? Or what do we talk about when we make small talk to our doctor or a chiropractor or that person sitting on the plane next to us? What's the small talk that we make? Oh, how are the Jets doing? Oh, amazing. Oh, that's awesome. What do you do? Oh, I do this. Why don't we bring the gospel into our conversations? We don't have a reason. There was a guy named Todd that came to our office a number of years ago, and he had this Bible with him, and he knocked on my door, and he poked his head in, and this was before I was at the Youth for Christ building, but he just says, I need to know what you guys do. He said, I received this Bible, and I had no idea it was a Bible until I actually opened it up, but the logo on the back of your Bible matched the logo on your door. And so I need to know what you do. And so I told him what we do as a ministry, and he just goes, well, thank you, this saved me. And I said, how so? He goes, well, I had no idea that this was a Bible. I just thought I had received a book. He said, I love to read. I'll read anything. So I took it home with me, and I realized that I was reading through the Bible for the first time in my life. And he said, I read through the whole New Testament in 3 days, and the only conclusion that I could come to at the end of this book was that I needed Jesus, because this book answered every question I've ever had. It's as if this book was written specifically for me. He said, I'm 43 years old, I'm a successful salesman, I have a family. And he said, I'm now the first believer in my entire family. We started this relationship he took me out for coffee one day, and he just says, I need to ask you some questions. I said, shoot. He said, why is it that Christians like you rob people like me of this message by keeping your mouths shut? Wow. He said, I was in a drunk driving accident before I found God. He said, and I almost died. It was my fault. I should have died. I don't know why I didn't, but I'm fairly certain I know where I would have gone if I would have. And he said, and you know what? That's on you. And he said, because you people have no idea what you have. And he said, when I got saved, I found out that there was 12 other believers in my office that I worked around for years. He said, years. And yes, once in a while I saw them praying in the lunchroom before they ate or whatever. I saw little things that they did, but that never meant anything to me. But now that I'm saved, I can't stop talking about this. And now the believers in my office are coming up to me and going, oh my goodness, Todd, you're saved, that's amazing. And all I have to say to them is, how dare you? How dare you keep this from me? And he said, I realize that I may not have been receptive to it had you have told me. He said, but I don't understand why you don't try. Like, what are you scared of? And he's so right. What are we afraid of? The worst response that I've personally ever had when I've tried to open up about my faith is the word no. That's the worst response I've ever had. And if that's my reason for not doing it, I highly doubt that that answer is going to fly when God goes, man, I put this opportunity in right in front of you. Like, you knew it was an opportunity. Why didn't you take it? I didn't want them to say no. Oh, okay. No problem. So how do we do this? How do we start conversations? Because here's a few facts. Everyone is empty, everyone is lonely, everyone is guilty, and everyone is afraid to die without God. Everyone. And the gospel changes everything. So how do we start conversations? And I started reading through the gospels a while back, and I read this verse in 1 Peter that says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. And I've always wondered about that verse. Well, not always, but the last number of years. I thought, well, okay, I'm ready to give an answer, but no one ever asks me. And I realized that it's not up for people to ask me. It's up for me to make them ask me. Because if I'm just waiting on them to ask me because they'll assume I'm a Christian because I'm a decent person, it doesn't happen. There's so many decent people and amazing people out there who aren't believers. That's not good enough. And I started reading with how did Jesus and the disciples create conversations? And I recognized the theme that Jesus and his disciples almost always preceded their gospel message with an act of service, love, or a miracle, which gave them the permission to share the gospel with them. Because these people who they're in front of are going, why in the world would you do that for me? Who are you? Who would do something like that? Why are you doing this? And then they were able to jump in and say, it's all about Jesus. So I thought, well, what would it look like if I put that into practice? What would it look like if we would go and do something so big and so outrageous for somebody that it would make them ask us, why would you do that for me? Now they've asked you. Now they've been given you permission to tell them. You have their full attention. It works. It really, really works. And I want to show you a video here. It was one of the first or second opportunities that I actually used that approach and took. And the most amazing thing happened. I have lots of stories, but I want to show you this video. And this has nothing to do with Ryan and what Ryan did. But it's what God can do if you're just open to being used by Him and stepping out of your comfort zone. And if you're able to sacrifice your time and your money and your comfort, oh my goodness, can you ever start conversations? It's amazing. Watch this video and then I'll share a few more things with you.
My name is Ryan Rempel. I'm the director for Give the Word Ministries here in Winnipeg. We give away Bibles and we encourage people to share their faith, and it's something I try and do, but I was driving down the street one day and just doing some errands for work, and I saw this person sitting on a bench, and God just told me to approach this person.
I was sitting there thinking, I guess I was in my own mind, just a thought. He drives up. All of a sudden I hear, excuse me. I turn around, I looked up, and there he was.
And I had 10 bucks in my wallet, and God just said, you need to go give it away. And so I did that.
I says, no, thank you. I don't want it. It's okay. No, I have to do this. I felt a nudge.
And I gave it away, and I knew she was confused as to why I was giving it away, and so was I. But I knew I needed to obey that little nudge that God gave, and so I gave it away. And then God said, you're not done yet. You need to pray for this person. And so I said, I'm sorry to bug you again, but can I pray for you? And she welled up with tears, and she said, I have cancer. And so I sat down beside her, and I prayed for her. And I don't even remember what I said, but I prayed. And she gave me this big hug, and she turned around and walked inside, and I went on my way, and I thought, God, this can't be the end of this story. There's got to be more. So I went back to my office, and I grabbed a Bible, and I wrote a letter with some of my testimony, my story in there, and the message of salvation with my phone number, and I said, God, you got to connect me with this person again. I don't know how, but you got to do it. And so I went back to that apartment building that I saw her at, and I sat there for about an hour. And she didn't come back out. And I went back again that evening and sat there again. She didn't come back out. I went back the next morning, sat there again. She didn't come back out. And so I thought, well, maybe this isn't going to happen. And I went to the store nearby to buy a couple things for my dad. And I went to the checkout line, and there she was in the checkout line.
He says, please don't go away. I have something for you. And I looked at him. I said, okay. He gave me this Bible. I wasn't expecting. I says, thank you very much. What is this for? It's for you. I had to give this to you. Then Maureen, I fully believe in Jesus Christ. I believe just as Jesus says in the Bible, anyone who believes in their heart that I am this Son of God and that I died for your sins will be saved. I read this letter and I cried at home. I thought nobody would do something like that.
And about a week later, she called me and said, "Ryan, I've been reading that letter and that Bible every day, and this has changed everything." And I just knew that I wanted her to get into community with like-minded people and with the church that would just love on her and accept her. I wanted her to feel that, and so I invited her to church. I've learned that there's never a bad time or a bad opportunity to reach out. Usually, I find that it's when it's most uncomfortable. That's when you need to do it. And so I've just really found that no matter how uncomfortable it feels, just reach out and love on people and just watch God work. It's amazing. Maureen actually ended up passing away before last Christmas. And I'm so glad I stopped. Because everything in me driving by her wanted to say, just keep driving, you don't have time, you got stuff to do, it's weird, you don't even know who that person is. And I knew God was tapping me on the shoulder. And I thought, what's the worst that can happen? The best thing that could happen, happened. And that's opened me up to take so many more opportunities. There was a guy named Brian, I'll share with you quickly. I was at Subway. I was in between appointments visiting some of our donors, and I had very little time. So I just thought I'd run into Subway and just grab myself a sandwich, and it was just me and this other guy. He was sitting at a table, you know, across from me. It was just me and him in there, and he looked to be about, you know, mid-60s or so. And I was just fighting with, like, man, I should go up and say something to him. And I was like, no, I don't actually have time. And I thought, well, I actually do have time if I just miss my next appointment. And I was just fighting with it and didn't know what to say. And I had it already, now I'm finished my sandwich and I'm ready to like throw it out, and I'm just like wrestling with this, and I go, no, I gotta do this. And so I got up and I walked over to him and I just said, hey, how you doing? And he just goes, yeah, good. And I said, enjoying the day so far? And he goes, yeah. I said, awesome. I said, can I pray for you? He just goes, what? And I said, I know, that sounds weird, eh? And he goes, yeah. And he said, why are you asking me that? And I just said, well, I just believe that God can do amazing things. I just said, he's done more for me than I could ever imagine or explain. And so I know that he can do the same thing for others. So if you're open to it, I'd love to pray for you. And he just goes, okay. I just got diagnosed with Parkinson's today. Your day is not so good. And he just goes, sit down. So I sat down and we talked for 2 hours. Just talked, asking me about my life, me asking me about his. It was amazing. I just made time. I didn't have time, but I did. And it opened the door for more conversation. He just goes, man, he said, I really like you. He said, you're really interesting to talk to. Would you do this again? Absolutely. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh boy, I gotta make more time. But that's the cost. That's the cost. And I don't really think we know what cost means, because I know that Jesus often talks about counting the cost of following him. I don't think we really get that, because we don't really have a lot to lose here. But you do when you start sharing the gospel, because it costs you your time and it costs you your comfort and it costs you your money to build relationship with people, for them to give you the permission to share the gospel with them. And just before I walked out of that that Subway, he just goes, man, he said, I really like your shoes. I was like, oh, thanks. And he just goes, are they like slip-on? And I said, yeah, they slip on really easy and they're super comfy. And he just goes, man, that's the kind of shoe I'm looking for. It's harder for me to bend down and tie. And I go, oh, what size of shoes are you? And he goes, 9. And I was like, oh, me too. And I said, yeah, we should do coffee again soon. So I'm in my head, I'm already thinking what I'm going to do. And so I left and I went to the place where I bought these shoes and I bought a brand new set of shoes and gave it to him. And he was blown away. Why are you doing this? Gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with him. It works.
So my challenge for you today is go and take an opportunity to share the gospel. Do something so big, do something so outrageous and out of the ordinary for somebody that it makes them ask you, why would you do this for me? And then tell them. And I brought enough of these for everybody here to take one home with them. So my challenge for you is give this away within 2 weeks. I know that's maybe terrifying, but if you don't give yourself a time frame, it's going to sit on your shelf forever because you're going to think God's not giving you opportunities. Oh my goodness, will He give you opportunities? Just keep this with you. And out of the many opportunities that God gives you, just take one. And then tell your leadership what happened, whether it's positive or negative. If you get socked in the face for giving this away, share that story, because I want to hear that story. I've never heard that yet, and I think that would be awesome. Not for you, it would just be a great story. But seriously, do it, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. Because give the word grows through people like you, and God's kingdom grows through people like you. And remember that you are God's plan A and He has no plan B. Just let Him use you. It's amazing. Thank you.
Can we stand together? Yeah. Sometimes the things that the Lord calls us into and to do, we've been talking about the good deeds that He's set before us to do, even before we were born, and that means movement. Sometimes we have to move. We have to move from comfortability to uncomfortability. Sometimes we move from one place to another, but it's for his kingdom. And I really had that sense that we need to move for his kingdom and to be unafraid when he says, you know, he's got a Bible for each one of us. Can you take that Bible and give it away in 2 weeks? And part of my heart goes, oh, that's going to be costly. Right? Anyone else have a little nudge in their heart that gave you a little nervous flutter? Yeah. Well, some people can be very excited, some people can be very nervous about that because it costs us something. So I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to come down to the front, each one of us. Like, we come as a group together here. And I want to pray over us. If you're willing to come down, this is for all of us. We're in this together. It's not about singling out one person or another person, but this is us as a body coming together to encourage and exhort each other to do the good deeds that God has set before us to do. Amen? This is not shame-based or guilt-based. This is, Lord, you have a good deed for us to do, to share your gospel of good news. The reason that we're here, each one of us, is that we know the gospel. Someone shared the gospel. The Lord has revealed his gospel to our heart. And this is what it's about now. Someone shared with me the other day, he was sitting in his truck and the Lord spoke to him and said, would you give me your right leg? And he was like, he loves his truck, loves to drive. He's like, that was a really hard for him to sit with the Lord. And eventually in this wrestle saying, yes, Lord, I'll give you my right leg, which could mean he would never drive again. And a few minutes later, the Lord said, would you give me your left leg? And he's like, oh, that'd be hard. And wrestled with the Lord, and he said, okay, Lord, I'll give you my left leg. A few minutes later, the Lord said, would you give me your right arm? well, then you're calling me an invalid. Some people will have to do things for me. Yeah, Lord, wrestled with the Lord, I'll give you my right arm. Now you're thinking a few minutes later, the Lord said, would you give me your left arm? And they begin cluing in. He's like, oh, Lord's asking me that he wants me to give him everything. The Lord calls us to give everything to him for his kingdom. We can't do it alone. We look around each other. We need one another to encourage and to exhort each other into the good works of the kingdom. Ryan exhorted us for the kingdom work. Exhorted us. So Lord, I'm asking Holy Spirit that you would equip us. That you would equip us past our fear and our insecurities. That you would equip us past our feelings of inadequacy that we may not know. We may think, oh, I don't know the Bible enough to share the Bible. But we know you, Jesus. And that's enough. We know you, Jesus, and what you've done in each one of our lives, that you've set our heart for your kingdom work and the good deeds. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you breathe on us your power and your might into every part of us that's afraid. Every part of us that's insecure. And would you excite us for your work? Which is easy work, because all you're doing is asking us to share the hope within us. To share the very places of what you've done in us and what you continue to do in us. And we ask this all for your kingdom's sake, Lord. And for your glory. And I'll leave you with a benediction, blessing. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And if you want to receive ministry, if you feel like the Lord is really moving on your heart this morning, feel free to stay up and let's pray together. Pray for somebody. But you're free to go back to pews. Thank you for coming up. Grab a Bible on your way out. Absolutely.